It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, David Widmar, Agricultural Economic Insights, AEI.ag. David joins us in a moment. First off, Lance Honig, Chief of the Crops Branch, USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, on USDA's prospective plantings report.
There's a lot of speculation out there, but this is really the first opportunity to find out exactly what farmers themselves are thinking. And obviously they're the ones that are going to plant the crop. So that's some pretty critical information to get their perspective on what's going to go into the various crops this season. And so it always raises that interest level pretty high. I would expect the same would be true this year. There's obviously the same concerns going into the season that we see every year. What are prices going to look like? What's the weather going to be like? You know, we don't know exactly what those things are going to look like, but farmers are definitely forming opinions at this point already. And so this is a great way to find out what they're thinking.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by David Widmar. David is co-founder and managing partner with Agricultural Economic Insights. They're online at AEI.ag. That's AEI.ag. David, as we start this conversation here, I guess it's our first in 2022, but what a difference a year and a half makes when we talk about the farm economy.
Right. We've gone from a pretty bleak outlook in the late summer of 2020 to one of the probably the best years that we'll experience in our careers for 2021. In a year of 2022 that we can be cautiously optimistic about. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of moving pieces. But in general, it's going to be it has started, I guess, for producers with some opportunities. We'll have to see how the year finishes up.
You know, USDA and their Ag Outlook for Trade released just this week at the Ag Outlook Forum, projecting a record $183.5 billion for agricultural exports. That's really been a bright star, if you will, in our grid here, right?
Well, yes, and we got to step back and realize those measures can be impacted by quantity of exports, but also the value of those bushels and pounds of exports. So it's hard to really untangle how much of its activity versus, you know, higher commodity prices. It's been a combination of both. But one of those key specifics that comes out of this big global picture has been China. And China purchased a record amount of ag goods from the United States in 2021. That's story's been overshadowed by the phase one trade agreement and China not meeting all those qualifications, including the ag purchase targets, but they've still purchased a record amount. So close to $36 billion in ag products. The previous record was actually back in 2013 at $29 billion. We almost got to $29 billion in 2020, but we fell short. And so we saw about a 25% increase in Chinese purchases year over year from 2020 to 2021. And of course, not all of that has been soybeans. And so soybean activity has been kind of, you know, par for the course, nothing to write home about. It's been a lot of other goods that they've purchased, including corn.
Well, and we could talk wheat, I guess, as well, especially on the heels of watching wheat prices really soar, limit higher. On Thursday, that they extended the limits out to 50 cents for Chicago and for what we call Kansas City or hard red winter wheat. Is this really something that is sustainable?
Well, let's back up just a little bit and reframe the cautious optimism we have for the farm economy. The first step here is that all agricultural products have been very appealing. And so we've had wheat prices that were strong really for the last several months. We've had commodity corn prices that have been strong going all the way back more than a year now. And so and you dig under the surface about these high commodity prices, there's been favorable demand and tight global stocks. And we've unpacked all that in various content that we've written on the website or on AEI Premium. But that's sort of the backdrop. And now you add on the uncertainty with regard to Russia and Ukraine. And both of these countries are big exporters of wheat specific to Russia, but also corn specific to Ukraine. Both of these countries do a little bit of both, but those are the ones that they're primarily involved with. So now we have this supply hiccup. And so we have to see how this is going to resolve itself. Specific to Ukraine, what kind of disruptions could we expect in their production of ag commodities in 2022? And how long might that last? And then also, what kind of ability or infrastructure will they have to participate in exports? Specific to Russia, what kind of sanctions might go into place and how widespread will those sanctions be with respect to the global economy? So the question that's looming is, how active will these two countries be in global ag trade when we think about 2022, but also into the future?
You know, some won't recall 50 years ago, this grain embargo, but wow, it appears as though some of the same groups that were involved in that embargo years ago are at the top of the news again. And it wasn't too long after that that we were dealing with inflation and high interest rates. And I say all of that just to paint the picture very broadly here, that do we need to be watching interest rates here in 2022?
Well, you have a lot of things piled into that question, so we'll try to pick through the pile there. A lot of great stuff. The first piece I will mention is, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the AEI.ag Presents podcast season, Escaping 1980, I encourage you to take a listen to that. It's 8 episodes that unpack the 1970s and the 1980s and ultimately the farm financial crisis of that latter decade. Why I bring that up is specific to the Russian grain embargo of January in 1980. And what happened there is, Russia invaded Afghanistan, and Russia had been, the USSR, the Soviet Union, invaded Afghanistan. And so one of the responses that the U.S. government used in that situation was to embargo the exports of U.S. grains, particularly wheat, to that country. Russia was a big importer of commodities at that point in history. And so there's a lot of lessons we can learn from that, and we were talking about this and thinking about this earlier today. One of the key lessons is, over time, their history might rhyme, but it doesn't repeat itself. Russia had gone from an importer of grain in the 1970s to a major exporter today. So the second lesson we can learn there is, while we were preventing our grain from going to Russia in the 1980s, still indirectly got there, and we still had global trade. The pricing wasn't very good. A lot of producers, the farm level prices were pretty low. Today, thinking about the Russia situation, Russia might be blocked or blockaded from many of the global markets, but that wheat and their fertilizer and their energy will probably still find its way onto the global market. It probably isn't going to, help the price situation a lot. There'll be a lot of trade flow issues going on and supply chain issues, but those commodities will still be available on the market. And the second thing I'll just add to that is, like the 1970s, we're in a period where there's just a lot of uncertainty and a lot of moving pieces, and it's almost impossible to predict how all of these factors will unfold. And I'll give you one specific example. With back to the Russia and Ukraine, are the sanctions. It's going to be very difficult to predict just how these sanctions will unfold as they target the Russian economy, but also they have global implications. I think the interest rate question is a very good one. It's very timely to think about that. All signs in, January and early February was that the Federal Reserve was going to raise interest rates in their March meeting. We'll see if that continues to play out. But I think for producers, we need to step back and untangle that interest rate uncertainty in perhaps three different questions, three buckets. The first one is, what's the probability of the Fed raising interest rates in the first 6 months of 2022? And I think the latest situation in Russia might change our forecast for that a little bit. The second bucket is, what's the probability of a significant change in interest rates here in 2022 in the short-term rates? So will they move maybe six interest rate hikes for about 150 basis points of movement is what we're thinking about. But finally, probably the most important agriculture is, what happens with long-term interest rates? And those long-term rates, such as the 10-year treasuries, those have been increasing. Those have gone up more than 100, 125 basis points in really the last 6 to 7 months, and the Fed hasn't even moved short-term rates. And so we have to untangle all this, because the farm sector is more linked to these long-term rates than the short-term rates, and the long-term rates have been moving well before the Fed has actually moved short-term rates. So I hope you can unpack that a little bit. There's a lot of ideas in there, so I hope that's valuable to you and the listeners.
Well, you mentioned the podcast, which brings us, I think, full circle. We started with the website aei.ag, Agricultural Economic Insights, with about a minute left. What do we need to know about AEI, and what's there for us?
Well, yes, we have our free weekly articles. We have the AEI.ag Presents podcast. Season one is Escaping 1980. Season two is Corn Saves America, which is a revisit of the rise of ethanol and the lessons that we can use and think about as we consider the future of carbon and carbon markets. That's all free. That's all available. We also have the AEI Premium subscription, which has even more content, a Friday newsletter, and the Ag Forecast Network tool, which is a unique way for individuals and teams to think about uncertainties facing agriculture. They can learn from themselves and learn from each other, and encourage everyone to take a look and check out the website.
Again, the website is aei.ag. That's aei.ag. Co-founder and managing partner with Agricultural Economic Insights is David Widmar on today's Agribusiness Report. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Looking to get more out of your hay harvest? At Livingston Machinery, we're proud to offer Heston by Massey Ferguson windrowers, disc mower conditioners, round balers, large and small square balers. These rugged machines are built for high performance and high capacity. They're simple to maintain and consistently deliver the best results. Don't settle for less. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, David Widmar, co-founder of Agricultural Economic Insights.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with agricultural economic insights online at aei.ag.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's that time of year you've been waiting for. Commodity Classic is back, March 10th through 12th in New Orleans. Join the Sorghum Checkoff for a learning center session, finding the sweet spot, combining precision agriculture and conservation to build a sustainable and diverse farming landscape. Don't miss this cross-commodity, cross-sectoral collaboration with Pheasants and Quail Forever and Cotton Incorporated. Register online at CommodityClassic.com or listen to it live here. Sorghum, the smart choice.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A compound made of peanut skins that could be used to boost antioxidant levels in milk chocolate. It is one of several examples of research being conducted to convert what is considered food waste as ingredients that could add nutritional value to food products. USDA researcher Lisa Dean says peanut skins contain three forms of antioxidants, including tannins, a compound that is also found in food byproducts such as
coffee grounds, tea leaves, grape pomace, cocoa hulls, a lot of fruit and vegetable peels contain these types of compounds. And all this material could be mined and these compounds recovered and then used.
Other potential products include grape skins that can be converted as an ingredient in puff snacks and cereals to increase fiber, and pineapple stem that can serve as a starch with nutritional properties unique to other starchy foods like rice and cassava. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.